I will fight your battles. And in the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, we've read, but if you'll continue on with verse 10 to the end of the chapter, Yahweh told them that if they did what he commanded and he kept his word, that he says, I will give you cities that you do not have to build. I will give you wells that you do not, wells of water that you will not have to dig. I will provide for you. That's being a promise that he has made for being a people of Yahweh. So how do we look and how do we become a people of Yahweh? Well, a year ago, we took a look at the sheep and the shepherd. Not these sheep here, but the sheep we are. That we are the sheep of the Master Shepherd Yahshua. We are also shepherds of our own lives. We're also, some of us are shepherds of families. And then there's those of us that are appointed shepherds of flocks that we follow after. So, keeping with the scriptures, becoming a people of Yahweh. Also, at Feast of Tabernacles, the question was asked, why were we here at Feast of Tabernacles? And also, now, at Passover and Unleavened Bread. Of course, the answer is, first of all, we're obeying Yahweh, and we have that hope to inherit eternal life. So in obeying Yahweh, and through Yahshua, hoping to earn the gift of eternal life, we're working at becoming a people of Yahweh. And with that, a people of Yahweh, this is going to be our title. We'll keep it highlighted as I go to continue to add more things to it. We have to look at what it takes to become a people of Yahweh. The Bible is our instruction book. There's times we've heard parents say, well, I didn't have no one to tell me how to raise my child. I didn't have any guidance. It was learned by just hard knocks. But we, trying to work towards the gift of eternal life through Yahshua, we have an instruction book. We have the scriptures that lays everything down. And in that, we have to develop a character. And we are going to take a look at Yahweh as being the potter that works at molding our hands. We are the clay that he molds and makes. If we'll go to Romans, chapter 9, verse 21, it says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel into honor and another to dishonor? And then also in Revelation 2:27, says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. This is in the future. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And if anyone knows about working with clay, once clay has been formed and made, and it is made into a vessel, and it has been fired and dried and hardened, if you drop it, it will shatter, it will break. So here is, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken as shivers, even I receive of my Father. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter, saith Yahweh? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, speaking of, at that time, physical Israel, but this is as well with spiritual Israel, that the molding of the clay. And then Isaiah 64, 8. But now, O Yahweh, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So, when we take, to give you an example, and sometimes I like using physical examples for people to envision. When you have a lump of clay that's very pliable, that you can mold, I was warned about doing this. It'll get your hands a little dirty. But the potter takes and he molds the clay, as in the picture here, a lump of clay. There's two types, putting it on a wheel or molding it by hand. But as Yahweh works throughout our lives, the experiences, all the experiences we have in our lives, hardships, good times, bad times, we can mold. We are being molded and made. Now, sometimes, as it said in back there in Jeremiah, that maybe he has to stop and rework a little bit. Or if you have experiences like me, sometimes it has to be a little bit more stronger there. But mold and make, and he shapes you. So with a lump of clay, it's us as individuals, and the Heavenly Father starts with our life, throughout our life, and it's a walk, it's a journey. I think some people sometimes, you know, it was said in the Scriptures to count the cost. And most definitely count the cost, because once you're baptized, the adversary will fight against you. And you will run across many different trials and troubles and stops. But as you mold, you take a lump of clay, and as you grow and learn, that clay is being molded. And here's examples of with a potter on the wheel, as he can form and shape the clay to make various vessels. And then when he gets the clay to a completed fashion, they fire it, they glaze it, they paint it, and you have a perfected vessel, a vessel that has been made permanent for use, for eating, for drinking out of, for any type of surface. All right, we have a purpose. We'll take a look at that in just a little bit. But becoming a people of Yahweh, this time of passage from the simple clay and the hands that mold it, our Heavenly Father, and to the time we come to, in the future, to be made eternal, a perfected vessel, we're establishing the character of our being. This is a subtitle. This is what I really want to focus on about being a people of Yahweh. It's who we are. It's how we act, how we live, how we set an example. And right now I could say the essence of this is ditto. The last four or five scriptures have been brought between Randy and Alan and Jose and Michael have all encompassed this whole concept and idea about building your character. But we're going to look at definition of character, so that further, sometimes looking up the definitions to further get a clearer grasp in your mind. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, character says, the combination of qualities or features that distinguishes one person, group, or thing from another. A distinguishing feature or attribute as an individual, group, or category, a description of a person's attributes, traits, or abilities. Also, Collins' English Dictionary says, character is the combination of traits and qualities distinguishing the individual nature of a person or thing. And that's part of focus there, is the individual nature of each and every individual. One such distinguishing quality is characteristic. Moral force or integrity. And number four is reputation. Especially, we're looking at good reputation. And also, a couple more. The Fairlix Trivia Dictionary says character is what one is, what a person is. And reputation is what one is thought to be by others. So if it's a good character, then you have a good reputation. Bad character, bad reputation. And then Kerneman English Multilingual Dictionary, character is a set of qualities that make someone or something different from others. A type. And then one more, the thesaurus, based on the WorldNet, from Princeton University, says the inherent complex of attributes that determines a person's moral and ethical actions and reactions. That's what we got to have within our inner being, is how we act, how we respond. An example, especially in this day and time, so many people are self-centered, and somebody bumps into you, hey, watch where you're going. Do we respond with, same to you, buddy? Is that a way of a character of someone that's trying to be a person of, or someone cuts you off in traffic, shake your fist that way? You know, these are not, it's the inner character that you represent. And you think about this time, your actions like that, maybe in the next day or two, maybe in the future, will that have affected somebody if they, that individual at the time, had no interest in the truth or Yahweh, but in the future if they do and they say, oh, I remember him. I remember what he did. So you carry the weight of representation, the character of your being, how you act and how you behave yourself, and how we're going to take a look in a minute as how you you follow the word and you set that word as an example to others. So some character examples in the scripture. We'll go through these briefly. And one thing joking about is I used to think about how could someone come up with so many scriptures or come up with something that's such lengthy. And as I focused on that or picked on that, it seems like whatever you're made to face, whatever sometimes you don't understand. And so now I have to work hard at trimming scriptures to try to minimize. So I'm just grasping a few scriptures. These are not all examples, not all scriptures, but these are a few to set the example. One, in Enoch. Enoch in Genesis 5:24 says, and Enoch walked with Elohim, and he was not, for Elohim took him. Enoch only lived about a third of the lifespan is what the average man was living at that time. But the important thing to focus at right there, it said that Enoch walked. His character was, he was close to Yahweh. He walked with Elohim. Next was Noah. Take a brief look. In Genesis 6, verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. And so what happened, Noah and his family, they were saved from the flood. Continuing on, Abraham. Genesis 12:1-3, it says, now Yahweh said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will make them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, Yahweh said, if you follow me, and if you obey what I said, and this at this point was to leave his family, to go off away from where his family lived. Also, if you'll look in Genesis 17:1, it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, or at the time it says Abram, his name was changed in latter years. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty El, walk before me and be thou perfect. So now the character of our being is like Yahweh had said to Abram. He said, walk before me and be perfect. So that's our strive now, is to walk before our Heavenly Father, and to strive to be perfect. Now, of course, let me do a disclaimer here. In this mortal body, we will never be perfect. We'll never achieve that. It's only through the hope of Yahshua's sacrifice that bridges that gap, that in the last day, when He returns, He will bridge that gap. But we are not, as a lot of the world see, we're not supposed to just stop and say, okay, we have to strive through the scriptures for that perfection. And then in Genesis 22:15-18 with Abraham, it says, and the angel of Yahweh called unto Abraham and out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith Yahweh, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as of the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is where Yahweh told him to go offer up a sacrifice, his only son. And Abraham obeyed, but then Yahweh stopped him that he did not have to. But what happened is, Abraham was willing to obey Yahweh. And then next, also, we'll look at Moses. Numbers 12:3 says, Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. This is an attribute of character of Moses. He was very meek. Hebrews 3:1-5, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Messiah Yahshua. Says, Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So the reference here, Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, talking about Yahshua Messiah, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is Elohim, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house. There again mentioning Moses was faithful. As a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But then here in Hebrews 11:24, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was adopted in and raised as royalty. He was in the Pharaoh's household. But when he found out his heritage and his lineage, he refused to live like the Pharaohs again. And he went and turned to be with his people. That takes a strong character to turn away from, I guess you call the luxuries and the riches of the world. Ruth. I want to take the example of Ruth and her character. Part of her essence of her being. In 1:12-18, when Naomi was leaving to go back to her land, and she told the daughters of her sons that had passed away that stay in your land. I go back to mine. Turn around and go and save your land. Well, here in verse 12 it starts off, Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of Yahweh is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back into her people and into her mighty ones. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy Elohim my Elohim. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if I ought but death part thee and me. You don't see that much with a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law these days. But she said that she was going to stay by her side. So when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Ruth chose the Elohim of Naomi, which was Yahweh. But the focus here is in Ruth 4:13-15. What with Ruth and her dedication, her saying that Yahweh was going to be her Elohim. You know in history who Ruth became. She was an ancestor to King David. It says, and Samuel said, Ruth 4:13, So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went unto her, Yahweh gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be Yahweh, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. that this his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. See, this child gave Naomi her inheritance, her legacy. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And if you'll go ahead and continue to read, you'll find out that it goes down, the lineage goes down to King David, that she is one of the ancestors of King David. She chose to serve the Elohim of her mother-in-law. Like I said, this is not all-inclusive, but now to David. And you can take a look at these scriptures, but Yahweh had made statement that David was after his own heart. David was a warrior king. He wanted to obey Yahweh. He made many mistakes. I guess this is a good example to look at as we go on our journey in life. He made mistakes, but where his heart was is when he failed, when he found out he was wrong, he fell down and begged for forgiveness and wanted to turn, to get up and turn from there and not do wrong again. One most impressive thing is when he ordered to number the people. And then the priest come to him and said, you know, there started to be a curse upon the people and the people were dying. And then the priest pointed out to David that he done that thing. David fell down to Yahweh and said, do not lay this sin upon the people. It was I that made that mistake. I'm the one that sinned. Punish me, not the people. Now what ruler today would you see that would take the blame as David did for a mistake that they made? So David was after the character. Look at the being, the actions is what I'm saying. As you can go after this sometime in the future when you're reading through the scriptures, look at the actions these people did. And like I said, not all inclusive. Like with Enoch, there was also Eliab. And then Elisha followed after him. Time wouldn't permit for us to read about all of them because we'd sit down and read the book from front to back, front cover to back cover. But these are our instruction books to follow, to develop, to see within ourselves an example of a character that we need to develop. And then, of course, Solomon. If you read about Solomon, in his beginning, he prayed that Yahweh would give him wisdom so that he could rule the people. And in so doing, we all know that Yahweh gave him the wisdom and also gave him riches. Also, Yahshua the Messiah. Now, all I can say is read Matthew through John. Watch, look at all the examples of Yahshua and his life that is a life, an example set for us. The entire New Testament, and also actually the prophecies of the Old Testament for Yahshua as well. But he should be our supreme example. He's our master shepherd and also the example we should follow in. Then, of course, we have after Yahshua the apostles. There again, Matthew through Acts. Throughout the entire New Testament, we read to follow the way they did, the way they acted, the way they behaved, the character that was built within them. These are our examples we're to follow after. The disciples, the ones other than the apostles, the ones that followed. And if you'll read in tightly in there, there was a great number of disciples that followed in the footsteps of Yahshua. And that goes down to this day. Stephen. Now Stephen was mentioned in the Bible study as well. But what I want to do is take a look at Stephen before we move on forward. Stephen in Acts 6, 5 through 8. Says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen was full of faith and power of the Holy Spirit. But the foregone point to look at and focus is Acts 7, 59th and also the 60th verse. It says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon Elohim, saying, Master Yahshua, receive my spirit." Now, Stephen was praying to the Heavenly Father as the people had gotten so enraged at Stephen talking to them that they started to stone him. And then the 60th verse, it said, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Yahweh lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Who also said that? It was Yahshua, our Messiah. Said that upon the torture state. And Stephen as well. Now think about that. Put yourself in that position. How hard. There's a lot of people today say, "Oh, you'll get yours one of these days." But they can truly say, "Heavenly Father, forgive them," because they don't know what they're doing. As we move on, there's Paul. If you go Acts through Philemon, the example Paul set, read about him and his character. And then now we have Yahshua. We're going to back up to Yahshua. There's a couple of scriptures that we'll take a look at. 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 16. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Yahshua Messiah might show forth all longsuffering." Here's an example. Yahshua showed forth all longsuffering. "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So here it's mentioned that Yahshua is our pattern, specifically mentioning long suffering. And then 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25 says, "For even here unto you were ye called Messiah, because Messiah also suffered for us, and leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Okay, stop. Frame for a minute. Said he did no sin. So we're to strive to do no sin. But what did it say also? "Neither was guile found in his mouth." No hatred. No smart mouthness. No smart comments. No wickedness. No evil speaking. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." So there also it tells you right there that he didn't reach out to want the vengeance for those that were doing him wrongly. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So Yahshua is most definitely our example. So for a moment now, as we take the clay and as Yahweh molds, as I mold and make this clay, as Yahweh molds and makes our life, you can set examples. When you're finished with a product, you can make a vessel, a simple little vessel, a vessel that could be used for something. This was made out of the same clay. As it's hardened, if you notice, that it doesn't mold or make anymore. It's been made permanent. Set these vessels of use. Something that might could be drank out of, ate out of, or something stored in. We in our lives are still being pliable and molded and made so that one day we have the hope of becoming permanent in the vessel. And like there's a vessel right down here at the bottom of the podium that's been finished off. So, what should our character consist of? The New Testament especially, but all the Bible has many examples in it. But our character should not be like what? Friends of the world, enemy of Yahweh? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of Elohim. Works of the flesh. And we've seen these scriptures just during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So, our instruction book says specifically in these verses and others, lays it out simple, just plain and simple, what you cannot do, that what cannot be a part of your personality, your being. Says, I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Our character should not be flesh against the spirit. We brought this up. What Paul was saying, we'll just summarize it. You can read it later. What is he saying? I wrestle with the flesh, the spirit against the flesh. I do what I shouldn't do. I don't do what I should do. I fight back and forth. Now, to set forth an example here, building a relationship with Yahweh, but trying to become a people of Yahweh, we can set forth examples that are good things to look at. And one of those could be, let's look at a child. Joshua referenced to the children and said, except you come to me as a child, cannot inherit eternal life. Let's look at a child when it's a baby, when it becomes just before a toddler. I remember my first child, I was like, will he ever walk? It just didn't seem like he was going to, but he fell and he got up, and he fell and he got up, and he fell and got up. Next thing I knew, I was chasing him across the yard to stop him. And it's the same with us. We have to get up, and especially for those that are newly baptized, you're going to have hardships, and you're going to have, the adversary is going to come at you with full force at times. Be like David. Remember David. If you stumble, get back up like a child. If mistakes are made, ask for forgiveness and stand back up. Be like a, I'll never forget this one little boy. I know a lot of children who was there learning to walk and all, they'd fall and they'd cry. And this one little boy, the mother and father was teaching to be a tough little fellow, but he come running down the hill and fell, and he skinned both his hands. I thought he was going to start screaming and squalling. He stood up, looked at his hands, dusted them off, and took off running again. And I just said, well, you know, I mean, his hands were bloody. He actually skinned his hands, but we have to get back up. Remember, this is a life walk. A life journey from the time, not only from when you're born, but from the time that you turn your heart over to Yahshua and you become baptized, it's a life journey from there forth to your last days, to the last days of your breath of life, or until when Yahshua returns. It is a life journey. And it won't be a perfect journey, because as long as we're in this mortal body, there's not perfection here. You know, here's a phrase, you know, to err is human. To not err is to be not human. To be like Yahshua was. And so we just are continually striving for that. So here Paul discusses about having to wrestle with the flesh. Okay, then there's a way that seems right. Now this can take a lot of leeway into today with a lot of organizations out there. Well, I see it this way. I interpret the Bible this way. No, there's one interpretation. There's one thing the Word says. So whenever a person ventures to say, well, I think it is, they need to go back to the Scriptures and read what the Scriptures say. But in Proverbs 16:25, all the Proverbs are great to read. But in this verse in particular, about a way that seems right, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but to the end thereof are the ways of death. Also, in the last days, now this I see a lot today. In the last days, men are lovers of their own selves. Boys, stingy and selfish, self-centered. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Right there, without natural affection. Some of the heartless things that are done in this country today. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Elohim, having a form of holiness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. And part of about the parable of the sower, in verse 4, where it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Elohim, this is where part of those that are by the wayside, those that have, like we just seen about love not the world, where their interests are just too founded in the world, that they can't lay the worldly things aside to be able to serve Yahweh and obey the commandments. From the heart, our character should not be as this, Matthew 15:18-19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are from the hearts of carnal men. Now, judge not. Now, there's different judgments also. You know, there's the scriptures and what the commandments say and what you're supposed to do. But have you ever think about those people you know out there that just seem to want to get their nose in your business or get their nose in everybody's business? And also that also reverts to gossip and talking about other people. But it says here, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. So therefore it goes to the integrity of your character of being, how you treat somebody else, how you want to be treated. That's one good measure, is to think, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Also here in judging, there's several phrases that could be said, like until you've walked a mile in this individual's shoes, you don't know what they've experienced. You don't know what's going on in their lives. And sometimes the best thing in here, when you think there's something wrong, if we ever stop to think prayer, turn to prayer, that yourself first, that I not be this way, but then help these, whatever is going on in their life, that you can help them. Luke 6:37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Okay, some people have seen this. The concept of judging is when you point your finger at someone, when you take a look at them, when you point at someone, remember, you always have three fingers pointing back at yourself. In the scriptures where it says about worry about getting the beam out of your own eye before you worry about the splinter in someone else's. Buddy, we have enough. I have enough in my life to tend to myself. So these are parts of character that we have to work on, that we can be developed to be more people of Yahweh. Then we go, we mentioned meek a while ago. Let's look briefly at a definition of meek. For clarity, for understanding. Sometimes people, those words they say, yeah, I basically know what it means. But sometimes it's good to stop and take a look to get a better grasp of the definition. Meek, enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That's a mild association. Deficient in spirit and courage. That's submissive. Not so much as what we're focusing on. Not violent or strong. That's more of what we're looking at in meekness. I guess in the summary of meekness is Yahshua Messiah in his life. The way he dealt with Pilate. The way he dealt with the priests right there, knowing that his time had come at hand. But meek, quiet, gentle, not willing to argue or state your opinions in a forceful way. And then meek is also humble and not likely to complain, argue, react strongly. Meek, in Collins' Thesaurus of the English Language, submissive, soft-yielding, gentle, peaceful, modest, mild, patient, humble, timid, long-suffering, compliant, unassuming, unpretentious, docile, deferential, forbearing. So, it mentioned humble, and also in the Scriptures, humble. So, a quick definition of humble is marked by meekness, okay? So, meekness is humble, humble is meekness. Or modesty in behavior, there we go, modesty in behavior. In attitude or spirit, not arrogant or prideful. And also humble is not proud or arrogant, modest. A perfect example I like to tell from time to time about humble is sometimes an example from someone that maybe is not in your faith, the way you believe, but the definition of humbleness is Lisa has a cousin. And I always remind myself of this about humility. When I look at Yahshua and his character, but then when I look at a human being on the face of this earth, my uncle was the foreman at this business. Lisa's cousin worked there. My uncle was one that was very stern, very harsh employer. And he thrived on crawling on the backs of the people. He was a taskmaster. And he would call Lisa's cousin in and bless him out one side and another. Just get all over him for something. No matter, just no telling what it was. And the reason I know this, I know it from the bad side. I know it from my uncle because he come to me and he sat down and he told me this. So it didn't come from her cousin never said nothing. It come from the taskmaster. He said, you know something that just tears me up alive. He says, this fella, I call him in and I get all over him. And he sits there and he goes, he looks at me and when I'm through just tearing him up, he looks at me and he goes, thank you, I needed that. I can develop my character better. I can be a better person. I can be a better employee. He said he walks out the door and he says, I am tore up. I'm so upset. He said, I've got smoke coming out of my ears. He said, I brought him in to degrade him. And he says, I'm the one that's... He said, I just don't know. But you know what he also admitted? He couldn't fire the guy. But you know, this only works in sincerity. A person that's not sincere in the heart, that would never work. This boy has that type of humility in him. So a good example, human example, as we look also to Yahshua. But I always find that humorous because I know my uncle, and I know it just eat him from the inside out. He couldn't take it. What our character consists of, our character should be, love your neighbor and walk in the Spirit. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. From the heart. Now we've seen from the heart what you shouldn't do from the heart and the character that you should be. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Some people might not like hearing that. Do you hear what that said? So as you work a job, you're not supposed to be a contentious worker. It says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Messiah, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Messiah, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the master, and not to men. There, you do it as if you were doing it to the Heavenly Father. You do your work. So when you have a job, you do it to the best of your ability. Not that I'm going to slack off because I don't like my boss. He's cruel. He's a taskmaster. If you took that job with your character in you, you should do that job to the best of your ability. This is stuff that's built within the heart. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Tongue and speech. Psalm 119:172 says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So you keep that in your mouth, the scriptures. Psalm 35:28, and my tongue shall speak of righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Of course, you know I can summarize this by saying read all of Psalms, all of Proverbs, all of the New Testament. Once again, read the instruction book from Genesis to Revelation. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Boy, that's good advice for a lot of us. Sometimes it's hard to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Actually, you know, most of the world has that backwards. They're swift to speak and slow to hear. And what happens? You get yourself in a world of mess. Slow to anger. Proverbs 15:18. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Now I'm going to tell you, slow to anger. A lot of these things are not simple to work on, but they're the developing of your character. It's like the clay. It's like it was mentioned. Sometimes the potter has to back up, start over, reshape. We have to do the same. The fine tuning of our character. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. There's your phrase about slow to anger. So, when it comes to anger and running our mouth and opening our mouth, this has been said. It was said in Bible study a couple weeks ago. It's a lot of people know, 10-second rule, stop, hold your breath, count to 10. If you have to watch the clock, count to 10. But then also, as you're counting to 10, there's a phrase that I thought about that you can do. WWYD. What would... Now, this was a clear on the thing. It's not coming up clear in here, but it's what would Joshua do? Before you act on anything in haste, slow to anger, if we would ask the question, what would Joshua do? I think a lot of times we would find out, if we really stopped and thought about it and was true to our heart, Joshua wouldn't do what we were thinking about doing. That maybe through that we could look at Joshua's character and try to help form or make our character. Also, in Joshua's message, the sermon with the Beatitudes, you can read it sometime, is found, the whole message is from Matthew, the entire chapter of Matthew 5, verses 1 through 48. It goes into Matthew 6, 1 through 34, and ends in Matthew 7, 1 through 29, where Yahshua was speaking to the people. So you could just put Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But the biggest focus is Matthew 5, 1 through 16. And reading that, and when you take a look at what they call the Beatitudes, I was going to start by reading just a little bit of it. And if you want to follow along in your Bible, Matthew 5, this is all still a part of developing your character. It says, then seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. And if you'll continue on through 16 and actually through the whole message, we see the development that we should have within our lives, the things we should instill. For time's sake, I have homework for you to do. Some scriptures we can read that you can read at a later time, but fruits of the Spirit, you take a look at the fruits of the Spirit, that's been mentioned as well. In Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Our bodies are a living sacrifice. We overcome evil with good, if you'll read Romans 12, 1 through 21. Specifically focusing on 9 through 21. Now here in Ephesians, the entire chapter of Ephesians 4, 1 through 32, where it talks about Yahshua being the body. There's one body, there's one master, one faith, one baptism. And we're all to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we were called. We're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and we're not to do these various things, clamor, anger, wrath, bitterness, corrupt communication, to grieve the Holy Spirit, all these things and more not to do. Okay, real briefly to start to finalize up, as we live our life, we're the clay that is molded. There comes a time in the future that to be perfected. But if you go to Genesis 3, 22 through 24, it says, and Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Adam and Eve had sinned. They had taken of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. He says, they have become as one of us to know good and evil. And to know, and it says, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Yahweh stopped that. He stopped man from being eternal corruption. He went wry. He went away from the will of Yahweh, and Yahweh stopped him from being eternal. He could not partake of the tree of life. Says, therefore Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So, creation, at this point, Yahweh stopped the immortal part. But we have a hope in the future. Yahweh sent his Son to correct these things within us for our future. If you'll read the first chapter of John, and then if you look at John 3, 16 and 17, we heard one of the children say it the other night. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And then also read the book of Hebrews and how Yahshua became the high priest, how the Levitical priesthood was replaced. I like that. Not done away with, it was replaced. So our purpose for the future is we're going to be promised, Luke 20, 34 through 36, we're going to be promised to take the place that we're going to be equals unto the angels. But our life being molded like the clay before we can be made permanent, remember, the tree of life has been removed. In order, we have to work so that Yahshua does bridge that gap. That one day, when we have reached to a point that Yahshua can tell the Heavenly Father, they have worked at it. They are trying to do. I will lay down my blood and my sacrifice for them. Then the Heavenly Father can make them eternal. For the promise in Revelations 1, 4 through 6. Become kings and priests. And also in the future in Revelations 5, 9 through 10. Will be kings and priests and rule, will rule the people that have been molded and made and perfected. They will rule in the kingdom. We will be changed into a perfected vessel at that time, like the molded pottery that has been completed. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58, you'll read that. It will talk about you being made a perfected vessel. So what do? Read Ephesians 5 through 18, about putting on the whole armor, about how to protect, how to fight against the adversary. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's from the front cover to the back. That the man of Elohim may be perfect. You see that? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the promise. And then Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Where it talks about, once again, that tree of life will be put. It'll be in the kingdom. It will be put back there. And it'll be for what? The healing of the nations. And then James verses chapter 4, 17 and 17. Submit yourselves therefore to Elohim. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh and he shall lift you up. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, remember WWYD, so that as we develop our character, we focus on how we should be in our character. And let us open our minds as we draw to a conclusion. Let us open our minds and soften our hearts that we can become that clay that Yahweh can mold and make us into an eternal vessel in the future that He would have us to be. For what? For His work, for His will, His glory. Hallelujah. And I will leave you with this song to close out.
Just a week to make of his words, reflections that I see, make me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me as I am, and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay.